But as I say, it's always interesting how people remember. We can train our memories, you know, it requires effort at times, but there are all kinds of memory games and activities that you can do online to train your brain. People often say that, you know, if you do crossword puzzles or word searches or all kinds of games can help us to remember things more clearly. Some people say that word association, where you think of one word to remember another, can help you remember things. Although this joke about an elderly gentleman might seem to contradict that. The joke goes, two very elderly couples bump into each other in the street. And Jack says, hi there, George, how are you? George says, great, we've just been to that new memory clinic. They teach you how to remember things using word association. It's really good. And Jack says, really? What's the name of the clinic? George thinks for a moment and says, what's the name of that flower with a thorny stem? And Jack says, a rose? George nods, that's it. He turns to his wife, Rose, what's the name of that clinic? So, you know, however we choose to remember, whatever we do to improve our memory, one thing is clear. The Bible tells us that it's crucially important to remember who God is and what he's done. And there are many examples in the Bible of God's people being urged to remember what God's done, how he'd intervened to help them in miraculous ways. And usually that's accompanied by a visual way of remembering. And the example that I want us to think about tonight is found in Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And it occurred just after Moses, the great leader of Israel for 40 years, had died. And this is how the Bible describes how the people of Israel crossed the River Jordan to go into the promised land. Now, it says, I'm going to read Joshua 3, verses 15 to 17 to start off with. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho.
Okay.
The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now that was obviously a great miracle because flowing water doesn't normally just stop. People can't normally cross a river without getting their feet wet. It was an echo of a similar miracle that God had performed 40 years earlier when he'd enabled the Israelites to walk through the Red Sea without drowning when they were escaping from Pharaoh and from Egypt. And we can read about that in Exodus chapters 14 and 15. But this was now, and it was a visible sign that God was with his people as they were about to go in and possess the land that he'd promised to them. If we move on to the next chapter, chapter 4, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark. I've lost my arrow now to get to the next page. That's backwards. I've lost the forward one. Thank you. Of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. When Esther goes for a walk by a river or a stream, she likes to find stones to skim into the river. But she's not very good at skimming the stones yet. So she throws them in and it's more of a plop into the river. She throws a stone in. She really likes doing that. And she started off with small, smooth stones. But really, at the moment, it's, you know, from what I hear, it's the bigger the stone, the better. You know, she likes to find big stones and throw them into the river. She's not taking stones out of the river. She's putting stones into the river. But the people of God were called to take 12 stones out of the river, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, as a visible proof that the river that they crossed was dry when they crossed over. And these stones, Joshua said, were to be a memorial to the people of God forever. And the story goes on, verse 8 to 9. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, and they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. And later on in the chapter, just skipping down to verses 20 to 24, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they'd taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he'd done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And what this story teaches us, I think, is the importance of remembering what God has done. The fact that sometimes we need memorial stones, not only to help us remember, but to help future generations to remember as well. You know, just as the VE Day celebrations on Friday are intended to help us remember what happened at the end of the Second World War, even if we're not old enough to have lived through those times ourselves, so God's people are constantly urged to set up memorial stones as a testimony to what God has done. And there are many other examples of this in the Bible. Often the stones are gathered together into an altar, a place of worship. When Isaac met with God at Beersheba, Genesis 26, he built an altar there to commemorate that encounter. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him at Bethel as a memorial. When the Israelites defeated the Philistines with God's help, Samuel took a stone and set it up, naming it Ebenezer, which means thus far the Lord has helped us. The word Ebenezer means stone of help. We can find that in 1 Samuel 7. And there's clearly something about stones which help us to remember. And that's the reason, perhaps, that we have memorial stones on graves to help us remember our loved ones when they've died. But I think, you know, what God wants from us is not so much to be obsessed with piles of stones, but to understand the importance of marking, remembering and commemorating what God's done. And how we do this can vary. But it's hugely important that we do mark what God does and that we pass on that information to other people, including the generations to come. Psalm 78 verse 4 says, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. And it's up to us to do that. We need to be the ones who remember and commemorate the things that God has done. The praiseworthy deeds, the things that he's done which deserve our praise, telling people about his power and the wonders that he's done. You know, it's 10 years since God, through miraculous means, gave us this building on Market Street. And we hope very much to be able to mark that occasion this year when we're able to gather together again. It's just one example of a story that involves God's miraculous provision. How we were a church who had just over £7,500 in the bank, but God moved us into a building which cost £170,000 by the time we got the keys. How he supplied money to us through grants, not once, but twice, and also through a loan. How he provided everything that we needed so that the £20,000 loan we were given was repaid before even our old building on Beaver Street was sold. How he continues to meet our every need in this building. It's the reason that we have photographs in the corridor of the renovations that took place from February to June 2010. There are memorial stones, if you like. And if you, you know, if you've joined the church since then and you've not heard this wonderful story before, have a look at the church website. In the tab blog, under how we got here, you can read about all the many daily miracles that we saw, about God's amazing provision, about his praiseworthy deeds. But each of us will have our own memorial stones, our own stories to tell of what God's done for us. Even in this period of lockdown, we can be creating not only memories, but memorial stones. We can be doing things which help us to remember what God has done and what God is doing right now. You know, a lot of people have decided to keep journals or to do craft activities that can be kept to remind you of this time. The rainbow pictures, for example. You know, when we look back on these in years to come, people can say, I did this at a time when we were forced to stay at home, when we couldn't go to the church building as usual. But how much better if we can also combine this with something that says, and even then, God helped us, God provided for us, God cared for us, God looked after us. You know, I'm very aware that even under normal circumstances, the amount of time that we spend together as a church body compared to the amount of time we spend scattered throughout the week is really quite low. Having these meetings is just a very small chunk of time compared to all the time that we're away from each other during the week. And that can make it hard at times. We can easily feel lonely. Our faith might not feel that strong when we're apart. But perhaps this week in particular, we can spend some time thinking about all the praiseworthy deeds that God has done and writing them down, and then finding some way maybe to commemorate them for yourselves. Think about something personal or something that matters to your family. It can be something small as far as others are concerned, but for you, it's big because it's a sign of what God has done. Make a note of it, commemorate it, maybe create something to make it even more memorable. Mark Bergin once gave us all little stones during the service when he preached on Ebenezer, the stone of help. Maybe you could find a stone in your garden or when you go on your daily walk, and maybe you could keep that stone to remember this time. Maybe you could even paint it with a Bible verse on it or a picture to remind you of something that God has done. How you choose to remember isn't really the point, but remembering and commemorating are what matter. You know, because this is a time when my dad has died, I'm very aware that family stories need to be shared and passed on and cherished. You know, we've all got a finite amount of time on earth, and we need to cherish that and to treasure the stories. We've spent the past couple of weeks, you know, sifting through family history, loads and thousands of photographs, you know, from way back when. You know, I found out things that I didn't know about my family, and I found some memorial stones that I didn't really know about. This is one of them. I don't know if you can see what it is. It's a copy of Handel's Messiah. It's nothing special particularly, but it's a link to my past, because my grandfather was the organist and the choir master at Furlong Road Methodist Church in Bolton-on-Dearne. And this was his wife's anniversary present to him in 1945. So 75 years ago, just as we're remembering VE Day, you know, my grandparents celebrated their 18th wedding anniversary, and she gave him this score. And it's, you know, I didn't even know my dad had got this. I found it in a very old suitcase as we were going through things. I also found this. This is a New Testament, but as you can see, it's from 1953, a coronation New Testament that again was given to my father by members of Furlong Road Methodist Church. Annie Senior and Nellie Crooks have signed the front of it. Yeah, people's names that, you know, anybody that knows Bolton-on-Dearne history, they're familiar names to people. I didn't know that, you know, my dad had been given that. It's a link to my family's shared history. And just as I've spent, you know, the past few weeks looking through things and finding things like that that become memorial stones to me, it's the same for all of us with God's family. You know, we can remember what God has done for us. First of all, as individuals, then in our family groups, and then in our church family. you know, what God has done for us. And we need to share those stories with each other so that our faith can be encouraged and we can all join in the celebration. You know, there's all kinds of talk about having street parties on Friday, you know, where we put bunting up, and there's some pictures of bunting on the website. If you want to do that, download them, print them, colour your bunting in, you know, have a street party. Yes, that's great. You know, we might have to wait till we can, you know, do that on Friday, and we certainly will have to wait till we can celebrate the 10th anniversary of the church moving into this building. But it's never too early to begin to remember what God has done and to pass this on to our children, to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and to have a memorial stone for the generations to come, those children that aren't yet born but can learn something. You know, it's marvellous to me that my grandparents were there at Furlong Road Methodist Church before I was born, and yet here I am today being part of the churches together and working with people in that church, some of whom actually remember my grandfather. So, you know, really, this week, let's remember what God's done for us. Let's celebrate what he's done for us. And let's make our own memorial stones in whatever form, shape you want to do that, as we continue our journey together on this pilgrimage of faith.